God forbid that me and my uncommitment would have such a poor testimony that I would keep somebody from getting to Jesus because I'm closer to him than they are in proximity, but not in commitment.
Listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad that you've joined us as we begin a new message today, Tear the Roof Off, as we look at Mark chapter 2. But Pastor, I want to back up and ask you to explain what you meant by that last phrase there. To be closer to Jesus than someone else is in proximity, but not in commitment. What do you mean by that?
Oh, man, we see that all the time. Take us as believers. Especially those who say go to church on a regular basis, mm-hmm. in contradiction or in opposition to those who don't. And we then demonstrate that there is a commitment to Jesus in terms of you think believers go to church and church is about God and they talk about Jesus. But what's our lifestyle after we leave church? Mm-hmm. And I think we need to see the connection between life and lip. I got a little ditty. You know I got a little ditty for everything, Steve.
Of course.
But I say it this way, that life without lip is heresy because the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. But lip without life is hypocrisy. But life plus lip is honesty. So we have to understand that our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks a lot louder than our talk talks. So we got to walk our walkie like we talk our talk. If we're not going to walk the walk, we got to quit talking the talk. So then we can become one of the greatest hindrances to people seeing the light of Christ, because instead of his light emanating from us, they see darkness. So we're close to him in proximity. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes. Well, why are you doing that?
Or, yep.
You know, why are you in the strip club making it rain and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, we have to really live the life. That's what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4. It says this, we are the letter or epistle known and read of every man. So some people won't read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but what is the gospel according to you and I?
Well, that's a convicting thought for some of us, and for others, maybe as you're listening to this message, you'll be reminded of someone that you need to go and to talk to, even confess something to, and show them what it means to, fall, but then follow faithfully after Jesus. Well, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 2 and begin the message, Tear the Roof Off. Here's Pastor Ford.
People who want to do something find a way. People who don't find an excuse. Let me say that again. They ain't listening over there. Let me talk to you. People who want to do something find a way. People who don't find an excuse. I heard a story I think illustrates it. Was a young man. He was grew up on a farm, and of course, anybody from the South know that work wasn't a four-letter word, wasn't a dirty word, and we didn't have allowances and all those kind of things. You had to work for what you got. That's another sermon, I know. But anyway, he was coming down the road after doing some chores, and he had a bucket in one hand with a chicken under his arm. He had a pole in one hand with a goat on a rope in the other. And he's walking down the road and he meets his girlfriend. And she says she wants a kiss. And he said, woman, how in the world can I kiss you? I've got a chicken and a bucket in one hand. I've got a pole and I've got a goat on a rope in another hand. If I try to kiss you, the chicken's gonna get away, gonna be hard to catch. The goat's gonna wander off. I gotta go through all this trouble just to give you a kiss. She said, it ain't that deep. You can kiss me. He said, well, how am I going to do it? She said, well, you could put the chicken down, put the bucket over the chicken, put your foot on the bucket, stick the pole in the ground, tie the goat to the pole, and then you can kiss me. She wanted to kiss, didn't she? but you get the point. Yeah. She came up with a way. Yeah, there's always a way. See, here's the problem in most of our churches now. There is no problem too big to solve, only people too little to solve them. And see, why? Because people who want to do something do what? Find a way. Now, let me just start this sermon. I'm going to give some kudos. I'm going to give some kudos to that single young mother. Oh, yeah. You know, you got hooked up and got messed up. You got pregnant and you're raising his kids. And quote unquote, I say it all the time, he was man enough to make the baby, but not man enough to take care of the baby. But I like you. Why do you like me, Pastor Ford? I like you because you, first of all, understand there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're not going to let everybody put you down because you fell down. You allow Jesus to pick you up. Yeah, I like that about you. I tell you what else I like. I like the fact that you said, you know what? The average mother with children has to do with the welfare and the link card and all that. And I ain't putting it down. I was raised on it. Just so you know, you have to send me an email. You have to give me a text message. Don't get me on Facebook. I grew up on it. But I like these young ladies who say, you know what? I'm going to find a way to finish my education and to raise my children by myself. I don't need a sugar daddy. I don't need a big daddy. I don't even need my biological daddy. I'm going to find a way to do this thing. And so you went out of your way and you worked and then you helped them with the homework and you brown bagged it and you shopped at Bargain Basement and got Bargain Basement clothes. And you said to yourself, I'm going to make something of myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I appreciate you. And I appreciate that brother who says, yeah, I got a felony in my background, but nothing's going to stop me from supporting my family. I'll pick up cans. I'll go through the alleys and pick up metal and take them to the scrap store. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. I heard a story. I got to tell you. I wish he could tell you because he could tell it better than me. But there was a guy who gave this testimony. He went to a guy. He said, I'm a felon. I haven't been able to get a job anywhere. Nobody will hire me, and I have to let them know I'm a felon. So I'm telling you up front, I'm an ex-con, but I need a job. So here's what I want to do. You advertise that you have two jobs openings. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work for you for free for 1 month. So if I do well, you can hire me, not at the $12 you're offering, but at minimum wage. So you are in a win-win situation. If I don't work out, you just got a month free work. If I do work out, you got you a worker who's going to work good or well for under what you want to pay. After 3 weeks, he said, the man came to him and said, guess what? He said, man, you are the best worker I have. If you keep this up and you want to work like this, yes, I am. Well, guess what? I'm hiring you now after 3 weeks. And then I'm going to pay you for the 3 weeks that you work free. And I'm not going to start you off at $12 an hour. I'm going to start you off at $15 an hour. See, people who want to do something, they find a way. And that brings me to our text today, because that's what's going on in our text today, that you have some individuals. And meet me in the text, because it's going down. Mark chapter 2. Come on. That they are saying, look, we've got a friend and he paralyzed. Anybody got any paralyzed friends? Anybody got some friends that they so paralyzed by the drugs that they ain't gonna ever come to church? Anybody got any friends that she's so hooked up, she's got issues and problems and trouble? Anybody got any family members that are paralyzed? You know, the ones you don't even want coming in your crib. Is there anybody in here got some paralyzed friends? Maybe you got some paralyzed children. Maybe you married to somebody that's paralyzed. That is, in somebody who has the inability to be able to get themselves to Jesus, that you and I need to realize that we sometimes have to put them on our pallet and carry them to Jesus. And usually it's the very people that we say, I don't want to be bothered with them. They this, they that. It's the very people that we need to be bothered with. Amen, lights. And so, what's going down in this text, here's the theme. You shouldn't let anything or anybody stop you from getting somebody to Jesus. That's real simple, isn't it? Now I'm going to show you what these guys did. I want you to notice what they had to overcome. Verses 1 and 2 says they had to overcome the adoration of Jesus' followers. Look at the text. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Notice what's going on here. In order to get their friend to Jesus, they had to deal with the adoration of Jesus' followers. Jesus is in Capernaum, which is in Galilee. Now, you got to remember now, Galilee is the Cabrini Green. Galilee is the terror town. Galilee is the bucket of blood. Did I get everybody? Okay, it's the bucket of blood of Israel. Remember what they said in Acts chapter 4? Aren't these all Galileans who we hear speaking? So they were looking down their nose at Galileans. So Galilee wasn't a good place. It was a ghetto. Remember Nazareth was in Galilee. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, and this is what I love. Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were Matthew, they were all from Capernaum. Here it is. Before I go on, let me stick a pin in the wall and say, don't you let somebody down you because of what you used to be, but you ought to understand that you've got to be elevated by who God's going to make you. Because all you got to do, here's what I want you to do. Everybody take out your cell phone. Take a selfie. And send it to somebody and say, I want to send you this selfie because this is the last time you're going to see me like this. Last time. I'm moving up. I'm from Capernaum. Well, I'm getting ready to move on up. And that's what happened in this text. And so he's from Capernaum.
All right, we're going to continue to think about this and dive into this passage from Mark chapter 2 in just a moment. You're listening to a message from Pastor Ford entitled Tear the Roof Off. And if you want to make sure that you don't miss any of the future broadcasts in the short series, come to the website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org and sign up to begin podcasting the program. You can also just listen online. Again, come to treasuredtruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
Now, it's really amazing to me that Capernaum means city of Nahum. Isn't that amazing? Now, some of you don't know the Old Testament. I could tell by the quizzical look on your face. Of who? Nahum? Who's Nahum? Yeah, he's a prophet in the Old Testament. Here's my point. You can have an impact so great that when something's mentioned, your name is attached to it. Okay, civil rights movement, holler out a name. Oh, why is everybody saying Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Yeah, because of the impact. Were there others? Yes, there were. But the impact, you know something, minister, you can have such an impact that they can talk about. Here's what the Bible says. In the days of John the Baptist. Ow! Y'all missed it. That here is a man who the time period is defined by his life. What kind of impact are you making that your life defines a period? That's it. Impact. Known for it. So they're ministering in Galilee. Now remember, in Capernaum, Jesus did all kind of things. In Capernaum, it was there that Jesus chose as his home base. So the theologians tell us he's in one of two places, either at Peter's crib or his own crib. Now, it's probably Peter's crib, but he made that his home base, and so he's there. It was there that he worked his miracle on the centurion soldier. It was there that he cast out that unclean demon from that man. It was there that he healed that child. It was there that the centurion had his servant healed. So Jesus did many miracles at Capernaum. And so it's significant that he did so. Why, Pastor Ford? Because in Matthew 11:23, here's what Jesus said. If the miracles that would have been done in you, Capernaum, would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Jesus is saying, you church folk, all this stuff I've done for you that I've never done for unbelievers, if I did half the stuff for the unbelievers that I done for you, more of them would be saved. You know what he's saying. Let me tell you what he's saying. Capernaum, and it doesn't exist today. And just like Jesus said, it doesn't exist today. And why? Because he said, I did all this for you, and you still never fully committed yourself to me. Now, we do inventory in this room. How many people have been healed by Jesus before? Come on, raise your hand. He can heal you again. How many ever been broken? Jesus provided for you. He can do it again. How many ever had somebody wayward or a broken relationship and Jesus put it back together for you? He can do it again. Then what all this crying about I don't have this and that and the other. Where is it? Where is the statement like I always say? They say, how you doing, Pastor Ford? I don't have a problem that Jesus can't solve. I don't have a problem that Jesus can't solve. Sometimes I'm just too small to let him solve it. I don't have enough faith to let him solve it. And Capernaum, what's going on with you, Capernaum? All the things that Jesus did in you and you still not fully committed? Let me say something to you. Because we need to be shamed up in here. All that God has done for us, you mean to tell me we can't trust him with our finances? We can't trust him with our children? We can't trust him? We trust him with our soul, but we don't trust him with our pocketbook and our purse and our checkbook? There's a dead monkey on the line somewhere. In other words, too many of us want Jesus and. What are you talking about, Pastor Ford? Well, you read your Bible and your horoscope every day. Yeah, you want Jesus and, yeah, you have faith and your lucky rabbit's foot or your lucky chain cross around your neck. Yeah. You saying prayers and crossing your fingers. You tithe and you play the lottery. Yeah, because you know I'm going to hit this, and if I hit this, I'm going to tithe, so God, give me that number. Yeah, you believe the promises of God and you knock on wood. You believe God is sovereign and you still won't let a black cat cross your path. See, they want to get their friend to Jesus, but the adoration of his followers, there's a great crowd at Peter's house. Now, I believe it's Peter. Now, you don't have to agree with me, but when we get to heaven, Jesus will tell you I was right. And so look what's going on. Now, let me just work this real quick. Now, get this. They can't get in because of the followers. They're flocking to it. And the Bible says the house is filled up, every room. The courtyard, to the door, there ain't even standing room. But here's what gets me. The followers keep this sinner who needs forgiveness from fellowship with Jesus. Now, if you look who's in that room, the very people who are in that room who are admiring him today will be saying in 3 years, crucify him, crucify him. But yet now, their fair weather followers, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees is in there too, elder. Say, make your point, Pastor. I am. Just hold up just for a minute. Listen. Are you a fair weather follower of Jesus that's keeping somebody else from him? Say, how do we do that? You invited your mother to church, but she's not coming because why should she come to church to hear about Jesus when you cuss her out? You invited your brother to church, but why should he come when you still shacking with your boo? You inviting all your cousins to church on Sunday, but you were smoking reefer with them on Saturday.
Priest bath, come on, man.
Hey, you know, I have to find out what's going on. Right, so, right. You know, I go to this little corner gas station, and the guys come in, swishers. And I say, wait a minute, this many young people smoking cigars? Oh, you don't know, do you? You must be, and that's what he said, you must be a church person. I said, I used to push drugs. He said, well, the way we do it now is we take the tobacco out and we wrap our stuff in there. And so it smells, it takes away the strong, pungent smell. Look, everybody looking around like, yeah, that's right. I could have told you that, Pastor Ed. Go ahead, hold your hands up. Let me see. Let me see anybody got any dark spots on their fingertips. Let me see now. Let me see. Let's look at the, anybody got any holes in the shirt? Anybody got any holes in the shirt? This cat say to me, now, I don't smoke. You smell like reefer. I don't smoke. Let me see your fingers. Oh, you got a spot here and a spot here, and these are clean. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Oh, God forbid that me and my uncommitment would have such a poor testimony that I would keep somebody from getting to Jesus because I'm closer to him than they are in proximity, but not in commitment. Wait, look, somebody say, he meddling now. He meddling now. He meddling now. Yeah. And notice in this text, people love to be around Jesus. It was the Pharisees they couldn't stand. You got to ask yourself, do people like being around me? We hear all the time, well, you know, I talk about Jesus, and that's why. It ain't why. No, that's not why. You got that nasty, toxic personality. If Jesus wasn't God, he wouldn't be around you. But you a Christian. Oh, you a Christian. I'm not denying that. And so Jesus drew crowds. Now, church, I got to admit to you, there's something wrong. Because here, Jesus drew a crowd. Now, you know there's two ways to grow. There's good growth and bad growth. This is good growth. And so any church that grows good, you have what it takes to make it grow good. What is that? It says Jesus preached the word to them. That's how a church ought to grow, based on the primacy of the preached word.
We're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, and you know that that is true for his church. It's really the proclamation of the word of God, and that's what we're all about here on this radio broadcast. You know, I know that that's why so many of you tune in each and every day, because of just the integrity of teaching God's word in this way. If you want to listen online to a broadcast, you can do that by coming to treasuretruthradio.org. Well, Pastor Ford is hanging out with me in the studio for a little bit here. And Pastor, you know, this radio ministry is listener supported, and we need both the single gifts and the ongoing monthly gifts, don't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. Well, you know what, Steve? I've heard so many listeners and gotten emails. Amy sent me quite a few emails of people who said, when I needed Moody to hear a word, it was there. Okay, so now we need you to be there.
Yeah.
And we need monthly supporters so that whenever you need to hear us, we'll be able to respond. Without monthly supporters, that can't happen, because all of us have one-time expenses and monthly expenses.
Sure.
But Moody Radio needs those partners who will come on board, not just for the one time, but for the ongoing expenses of radio.
Well, you can help meet those needs as you give a gift to Treasured Truth and to Moody Radio. The easiest way to do that, come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. Click on the link that says Make a Donation. And you can become a regular giving partner, a monthly giving partner right there. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for praying and for listening today. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.